covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio, here's your host, Alex Stroth.
All right, away we go. Brewers lose each of the doubleheader. It's Brewers Extra Innings on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Dom Cotroneo enjoying his bachelor party. Congrats to him and his lovely fiance. Enjoy the weekend, Dom. So I'm with you today and tomorrow, and as is Mr. 755. The great Jerry Augustine is with me, the pride of Kewaunee, as we dive into a couple of frustrating losses today at PNC Park in Pittsburgh, Augie. We'll get to the pitching. We'll get to the lack of scoring with runners in scoring position. There's actually one thing that's at the top of my mind, and I'm going to do something I don't know that I've ever done, which is critique Pat Murphy, the back-to-back NL Manager of the Year. I want you to help me understand the Jake Bowers decision. Each of the games are one-run games, and you are pinch-hitting for your leading home run hitter in the ninth inning. And I understand it's against left-handed pitchers. He's had more success against right-handers, but he's still your best power hitter in your lineup, and you're pitch hitting for him in one-run games. I just don't really get it, Jerry. Can you help it make a little bit more sense?
Well, that's what's tough, you know, because Jake has done so much for this ball club, and it really hasn't made any difference whether it's a right or left-hand hand hitter. I just think when Murph gets in the situation, when you're a manager, the toughest thing to do is to figure out what time to pinch it, when not to pinch it, especially when you need something like Jake Bowers. And, you know, Jake is one of the better hitters. He does it in every night. But I think in this situation, he just thought maybe the lefty might have been a tough matchup for him, and he decided to go a different route, and he did it, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, I, of course, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, right? That's the beautiful thing about what we do here when we're critiquing and analyzing things. But he made the decision once, right? He did it in game one, and then he did it again in game two. And I understand we're thinking analytical. I just don't understand pulling your best power hitter this season out of the game in these scenarios. I get the game has gone analytics, right? Analytic this, analytic that. The analytic that I'm looking at, Jerry, is Jake Bowers leads the team in home runs. You need one run to tie the game in the ninth inning. I don't understand pulling him. Maybe I'm just frustrated because we sat through two games all day long. They couldn't get a win. You know, they were an inch away from tying that game, or I guess taking the lead in the top of the sixth with that Joey Ortiz, what should have been a home run double. But I just don't get pulling Jake Bowers in both of those situations, let alone doing it once, but doing it twice is why I think I'm so frustrated.
It's easy to get frustrated, but I think when you look at Murph, there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger picture about getting Giz opportunity at certain times of the game. This team has been playing so well. Yeah, I don't think he's lost any confidence in Jake Bowers not to go up and swing the bat well and give you a good at-bat in that situation. But I think when you get in certain times of the year and you're getting towards the end of the first half, or you get into the time when the first half is over before the All-Star break, I think you want to make some decisions to see where certain players are. And I think that's a Murph decision. Murph thinks ahead. He thinks outside the bubble. And I don't disagree with what he did. I think it's just testing other people to see what they did in that situation. I think if it comes up in a lot different situation starting the second half, he's going to probably give Jake Bowers every chance to swing the bat in those situations. But this is just a case where you're at the end of the first half or up until the All-Star break. You're just testing, looking, seeing what you have and see what you might use down the road if someone is struggling. So I don't disagree with it. I like what Murph does, because right now in these final games that they're playing, they've had such a good road trip. He's testing different things out, and that's real positive for the ball club.
I hear you on that, right? The season is still young, even though we're, just over the halfway point and leading towards the hypothetical halfway point with the All-Star break after tomorrow's game. So, sure, try things. I get it. But it's a frustrating one today as the Brewers lose each of them. 6-7 in the first, 2-3 in the second at PNC Park, the series finale and the first half finale tomorrow in Pittsburgh. Hey, what'd you make of Shane Drouin in that second game? I thought he was good to really good, and certainly a winnable performance for him as he goes 6 1/3.
I think what Shane Drouin is doing, he's trying to solidify himself in the starting lineup. The one thing that you really like about him is how he pitches with his fastball. But not only that, how he's able to come back with his off-speed stuff and use him. I think at times he had a little bit of a hiccup in how he wanted to throw his break balls, where you want to locate it. He's really starting to be that pitcher that can go out and dominate both sides of the plate. What I do like about him, he can throw his fastball, throw it for strikes. He can use his breaking ball very efficiently and keep it in good locations. But when he does that, he pitches a style where he can expand the strike zone. Look at his pitch count. His pitch count was really fairly good today for the number of innings that he went. He threw the ball very, very well. And I said, when you can have good pitch count, you can expand the strike zones, you're going to be successful. I thought he threw the ball very well.
I thought so, too. And that was the encouraging piece, I think, of that second game, because it was a unique one, all things considered, in the 2-3 loss. We'll dive through the first game at some point a little bit later, Jerry, but the second game, obviously so fresh in that 3-2 loss, and a frustrating one, as well. As the Brewers lose both, this will be a series loss for them, trying to avoid only their second sweep of the season. The last time they were swept, the only time they were swept this season, was back in April against the Nationals. So something to keep an eye on tomorrow as the Brewers close out the first half. But the big news over the course of the last 10 minutes, and I want to get Augie's reaction before we get to our first break on this, is no Jacob Mizorowski tomorrow. He has been scratched for tomorrow. So it will not be the Mizorowski-Paul Skeens must-see TV we were all hoping to see, Jerry. No Miz tomorrow. It will be Robert Gasser who gets the start for the crew. Pat Murphy said it was just general fatigue. Fatigue is the reason they're going to skip his start tomorrow for Jacob Mizorowski. What's your reaction to the news?
I agree with it totally. I think when you think about Miz, this is his first year starting in the big leagues, in the major league level. It's a journey. It's a journey. And when you go through and you get 20, 25 starts, or you get to start number 15 up until 2022, it really gets to you. It starts dragging on you. It's not about the fatigue with your arm. It's more fatigue with your body and the routines that you go through. And I think with the Miz, as well as he's pitched in the first half of the season, you want to get him as much rest as possible. Miz is what needed in September in the playoffs, and that's where you have to aim at. What is done right now with Miz is really not that important. Important to get him to start, but not important that if he misses a start or skips a start. I think that's all a good thing. I think he's a young guy that understands that he wants to go out and be the best pitcher he wants to be, and he's going to stay in his routine anyway. I thought this was really a good move. I was wondering why they were starting him anyway to right before the All-Star game. But I think with Miz, with his first year in the big leagues, this is a great move by the Brewers, a great move by Murph and Chris Hook and Henderson. I think this is a great move.
Jacob Mizorowski been hot. Shane Drouin's been hot. Not so hot. Brandon Sproat, Aaron Ashby, who we'll get to at some point throughout Brewers Extra Innings tonight. Who's hot? Who's cold? Brought to you by our friends at Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. After a day at the lake, the golf course, or the ballpark, come home to comfort with Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. Visit cider.com to schedule service today and stay cool all summer long. Brewers dropped both of them today in Pittsburgh. Jerry Augustine, Alex Stroff with you. It's Brewers Extra Innings. We will continue to break them down and preview tomorrow's first half finale in Pittsburgh as the Brewers look to avoid the sweep. That's all still ahead. It's Brewers Extra Innings on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers Extra Innings continues, 620 WTMJ. I'm Alex Stroff in for Dom Catronio alongside Jerry Augustine. As the Brewers drop both today in Pittsburgh at PNC Park, that will be a series loss for the Brewers looking to avoid the sweep tomorrow against Paul Skeens. That's a tall task. That's for certain. As we continue to react to each of these games, Jerry, just looking at, let's stick with game two for a moment. What stood out from you in terms of the offense, right? Only two runs. Joey Ortiz seriously inches away from scoring that third run in the top of the sixth. But Churia 1-for-5. Now, he did score a run. Terang 1-for-5. Mitchell 1-for-4. Cooper Pratt 0-for-4. What stood out for you offensively for the crew in that second game?
Runners on base. They left 11 runners on base is something that this club usually does very well, especially when you get late in the ball game. They had opportunities. They were 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position, leaving runners on base. I think that's a big thing over you. We look at this ball club over the last several weeks, and every once in a while you see that where they get a lot of runners on base. They don't score a lot of runs, but they still win ball games because pitching they've been doing so well. And you know, today is a game where you look at the first game. It was the big two home runs by the Pirates, Valdez, and was the difference in the ball game. He got two pitches he liked. He hit the ball at the ballpark. They were able to come out ahead in that. We had a bullpen that struggled a little bit in that first game, but all day long, when you look at what the Pittsburgh Pirates pitching did in this series so far, this is one of the things you see a young team is trying to do, modeling themselves a little bit after the Brewer organization. Good starting pitching, a good bullpen, and a strong defense. You see the Pirates doing that? Now they're starting to infiltrate some pretty decent young hitters, and they're becoming a pretty good ball club. So I think it really showed up today. The Pittsburgh Pirates bullpen really dominated the day.
Esmerlin Valdez. If you don't know the name, learn it. Three home runs in the two games today for the rookie, the rookie outfielder for Pittsburgh, Jerry. I mean, this guy was a 3-run shot away from the home run cycle. You know, he had a solo shot, a 2-run shot, and a grand slam today. Just needed a 3-run home run to complete the home run cycle. I got to be honest, wasn't very familiar with this gentleman's work prior to today. Impressive showing for him.
Yeah, a young ball player that's come up and trying to make himself, and he hit some good pitches. They were not just bad pitches. I thought a couple of pitches were fairly decent pitches. The home run he went down, he hit for home run, he went down and got it, hit the ball at the ballpark, and you know that this is a ball club that's trying to do something pretty special. And looking on the offensive side, yeah, they do have some injuries. They do have some people out of the lineup, but I'm gonna tell you, they're stepping up. They're being a little bit better on the offensive side of the ball. But right today it was just the Brewers. Just I thought the difference in the games were is just what you know the bullpen sputtered in the first game and were able to give up the runs to lose the ball game in the second game. I just thought Pittsburgh dominated with pitching.
Yeah, they were a lot better than the 5-for-19 the Brewers were in the combo of the games with runners in scoring position. 5-of-19 with runners in scoring position, the Brewers through two games today. There is a Milwaukee Brewers pitcher that I view as the most confusing player on the team. We will get Jerry Augustine's opinion on said confusing player on the other side after the break. It's Brewers Extra Innings on 620 WTMJ. How's the grand slam, which ultimately leads to the Pirates stealing game one in that 7-6 victory? It seems like in some scenarios, he is just, he's unbelievable, right? He comes in, he's absolutely money. And then in other scenarios, if he's trying to protect a lead, it seems oftentimes he gives up the lead. And today, another example of that. He is just the ultra confusing Brewer for me this season, Augie.
It's a tough one. You know, when Aaron started the season, he was dialed in. You look at the way they got him in shape in spring training, how he got his innings in pitch. And the one thing that I keep saying is it's a journey and the season is long. Even though you feel like you're stronger, you're healthy, you're going through your routine, it wears on you. Sooner or later, it wears on you. You're not as sharp as you want to be. And I think at times, especially out of the bullpen, when you saw the way Aaron has been used, multi-innings, a lot of different occasions, Jerry Koenig was down, so he had assumed that role. I think that had a lot to do with where Aaron Ashby is today. And is he being overused? I don't know if it's being overused, but I think he's had a lot of appearances the first half where I think when you get a healthy Jared Koenig, it changes the whole situation in the bullpen and allows them to use more guys and maybe Aaron get a little bit more rest. And I think the long season gets to you. And I think you're right at that stage where you get into end of July, middle end of July and August are extremely tough. It makes a difference who you are, what you do, and how you do it. For every ball player, it's kind of like you got to dig down and get a little bit. You got to find a routine that you can get your rest and go out and eat every day and perform. So I just think it's hitting a little bit of Aaron right now. I think as this time off is going to be very good. And I think when Jerry Koenig gets back after the second half, they get him into the flow of the bullpen a little bit. I think he's going to turn right around and he's going to have a great finish.
I'm hung up on the word overused because I don't think that's the right word. But it certainly seems like he's Pat Murphy's favorite. You know, Jerry, it seems like Aaron Ashby is Pat Murphy's go-to guy. I don't think he's overused necessarily, but he does find himself, you know, Craig Yoho was pitching excellently in that first game. He went two innings, and that's probably all they wanted him to go. They bring in Ashby, allows the grand slam. I don't know that he's overused, but he certainly is used.
I think the one thing with Aaron, I think when you see him come in is, you know, his big pitch is his breaking ball and having good being able to have a good release. A curveball is, when you look at what it is, he has a great fastball, he has a great changeup, he has a little bit of a cutter that he throws at times, but his breaking ball is his go-to pitch. And a go-to pitch every once in a while, a curveball can be at times, it can be frustrating because you overthrow it or you underthrow it or whatever. And I think at times Aaron does that. I think Aaron gets in situations where sometimes he wants to rush to the plate or go after it a little bit too hard, and he overthrows it, hangs the pitch, and then he puts himself in a situation where he's got to make a pitch maybe that he doesn't want. But he can bounce back. I think he's an extremely talented young man. He's got great stuff, and it's just a matter of getting back that nice break they have coming up. I think will do Aaron Ashby a lot of good.
I think you're right about that. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him tomorrow again. I'll just say that much. All right, Jerry, tomorrow, looking to avoid the sweep, looking to get a win heading into the All-Star break. What's the mindset? What's the message as we let you go before we chat with you tomorrow? The first half finale tomorrow, Brewers-Pirates. What's your thought process heading into that one, looking to avoid the sweep?
I like facing Paul Skeens. I think any time you play face the best, if this team is going to look forward to tomorrow, is that they want to finish strong. I think when you go and face him, he's pitched a lot against the Brewers. The Brewers really had played very well against him. I think it's going to be it's a big game for Paul Skeens. I think he wants to get in there, and I think he wants to pitch good. He's starting to throw the ball a lot better his last several starts, starting to use all his pitches a little more of a consistent with his breaking ball. I think he wants to go out and really, boy, dot a sweep for the Pirates. There's no question what he wants to do for his ball club. But as important, I think tomorrow is, even though Miz is not pitching tomorrow, and they say the state of it is, hey, we're going to give him a little bit bigger of a break as he needs it, and I think that's important. I think this is great for Robert Gasser. I think him getting a consistent start back-to-back, going through the routine, understanding, they probably told him a couple days ago, hey, you may be starting on Sunday. We haven't made the decision yet. So he was able to get his mindset and go through that routine, and the way he pitched last time out was phenomenal. He's gone from being able to really command the strike zone with not only with his fastball, but with his off-speed stuff, and making the sweeper, not only the big sweeper he has, he can cut that down and make it more of a slider-style pitch. And that has been really effective for him on both sides of the plate. I'm anxious to watch Robert Gasser pitch tomorrow and see how he does against the Pirates.
Bobby Petrol. Yeah, me too. Me too, Jerry. All right, your homework assignment, Jerry, before we talk to you tomorrow, is you and I are going to play a rapid-fire game tomorrow at the end of the first half of the season. The positives, the negatives, the surprises, what are you nervous about? We're going to run through everything from the first half of the season. So I'm going to give you about 19 hours or so to think about that, all right? We appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Alex, tomorrow will be fun. I'll enjoy that. I think we'll both have fun going over it and see where this ball club is or where we both think this team is at. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think you're absolutely right. He's the greatest. That's the great Jerry Augustine. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to tomorrow as much as I was an hour ago. I got to be honest. Watching Paul Skeens pitch is always fun, but it felt like must-see TV, right? This is the national game. It's on Peacock, which I know we all are huge fans of when they put the game on Peacock. But it's the only game. It's a standalone game tomorrow morning, 11:15. It was supposed to be Mizorowski, the up-and-coming flamethrower, the back-to-back Cy Young Award winner, Paul Skeens. It was supposed to be like the matchup, right? Two guys that aren't pitching in the All-Star game. We're going to go toe-to-toe to end the first half of the season. It was a great story. These guys have only faced one time last year, and we remember that one, right? Mizorowski out-dueled Skeens. It was the middle of a weekday, a matinee game at AmFam Field, sold-out crowd. Mizorowski was terrific. I think Sal Frelick went yard on Paul Skeens, if memory serves correctly. I want one of those again. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow a little bit less than I was an hour ago. Still an exciting one. Still looking to avoid the sweep and get a win and head into the All-Star break with a round number, a perfect round number, 60 wins. So it's still exciting. It's right before the All-Star break. And Robert Gasser's been throwing well. No offense to Bobby Petrel. You ain't Jacob Mizorowski, though. You're not throwing 105 out the gate. but still exciting. Still exciting. We'll hear from the manager. We'll go through highlights. We'll preview tomorrow. I probably still have some more Jake Bauer stuff to get off my chest. That's all still ahead. Brewers Extra Innings rolls on right after this. Brewers Extra Innings continues right here on 620 WTMJ. Alex Strofe with you. And I apologize. I've been a jerk. I see some of your texts rolling in. I see some of the comments on YouTube. I want to hear from you as well as we continue for probably about the next half an hour on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 is your way in on the text line. You can call in. Or you can YouTube in as well. We are live on YouTube. You can watch us there, 620 WTMJ. I'm waving at the camera right now. You can watch us every night on Brewers Extra Innings on YouTube, 620 WTMJ as well. So I just want to get your thoughts as the Brewers lose both today. Disappointing losses, both one-run losses. And I mean, seriously, that second game was like an inch. Joey Ortiz's almost home run that became a double off the top of the wall and like the deepest part of the ballpark. So frustrating. Just one of those days, though, for Milwaukee as they will lose the series to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's had their number this year. They're 4-1 against Milwaukee. But it is what it is. Just get a win tomorrow. Get the 60 to get to a nice round number. Head into the All-Star break. Get some rest, which is obviously what the Brewers are doing right now with Jacob Mizorowski. Robert Gasser will pitch tomorrow for Milwaukee in place of Jacob Mizorowski, who is scratched. And by the way, I hope you're on board with me here. I'm buying the Robert Gasser stock, and buying or selling on Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by our friends over at Tony Wendorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams here in Wisconsin. They are powered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. That's our friends at Tony Wendorf and Associates. Tony's the man. I bet he's frustrated with the Brewers today, just like me. All right. Mizorowski, today's losses, everything from the skip. Pat Murphy, after the back-to-back losses today in the doubleheader in Pittsburgh, here's the manager, Pat Murphy.
I mean, we left 11, they left 4. Yeah, that tells a lot. You know, we didn't come through with a big hit the way we have. We've won more one-run games than we've lost, and by a wide margin over the last few years. But yeah. Pittsburgh did everything right. They deserve every bit. They got a good ball club. They had great pitching. Two guys bumping 100 miles an hour for 6 innings both days today and executing. So they deserve it. They kept us under control. And they got big hits all day long. You know, Reynolds is 2 balls down the right field line. The kid that's the Valdez, the 3 home runs. I mean, it's just... We didn't execute pitches every time, but we really gave up. Drohan gave up, made one bad pitch. Ashby made one bad pitch, you know, and you lose 2 games. That's how small the margin is in Major League Baseball. I mean, you know, the guys are trying their hearts out, and guys, not everybody's on all cylinders right now, but that's, you know, we're going to set a record for wins in the first half in the franchise, I believe, Mike, right?
Yeah.
So. And we haven't had too many of these back-to-back losses all year, 2 or 3 times. So it's the way it goes. We had a great opportunity tomorrow, although Miz is not going to pitch tomorrow. So he didn't recover well from his last start, and we owe it to him to take a little more time. So
what's he dealing with?
Just he didn't recover well. His arm doesn't feel great. His body doesn't feel great. And there's no imaging or none of that stuff going on. We're just giving him a rest, and he needs some time away from throwing right now. He's had a big load, and we're making that decision. You know, give him a break, because his throwing program today was a little clunky, and we just didn't like what we saw. And you know, we're going to hold him out.
Murph, what did you think about Drohan, and you know, for him to finish with 2 quality starts on this trip?
Yeah, he was great. I mean, we got a 3-city trip. How many games did we play on this trip so far?
10.
We've played 10, 3-city, 11-game trip. It's unusual. And, you know, we're holding our own.
That Joey ball, can you believe it didn't skip over?
That's the type of games you lose, you know, like things happen. You know, there are a lot of things went against us, you know. But credit the Pirates. They did a great job pitching, and they did a great job of doing what they had to do today with runners in scoring position, and the kid that hit the three home runs, he changed the day for them.
Have you seen enough of Esmer and Valdez in one day?
Yeah, I'd rather not give up a homer tomorrow to him, for sure. But, hey.
There you have it. That's the manager, Pat Murphy, after the back-to-back losses today in the doubleheader. They lose both in Pittsburgh, a score of 6-7 in game number one and a score of 2-3 in game number two. This is no shot at anybody that was asking Pat Murphy questions. I know those post-game availabilities are always rather brief, but I would be curious, as I know Sue and Cudahy just called in with something I led the show with. I just don't get the Jake Bowers decision. And baseball and sports in general have gone so analytical on us, right? The analytics say that Jake Bowers is not better against left-handers than he is right-handers, right? He's hit 18 home runs this year. Here's the statistic, right? He's hit 18 home runs this year. 15 of them have been against right-handed pitchers. 3 of them have been against left-handed pitchers. Both the guys that were in the save opportunities today for Pittsburgh were left-handed pitchers. So Pat Murphy and the coaching staff decided, okay, we want a right-handed hitter. Want a right-handed hitter here. So they go with Andrew Vaughn in the first game. Go with William Contreras in the second game. And I guess I understand the thought process, but it's a one-run game. Both of these, by the way, in the ninth inning. It's a one-run game. Your best power hitter this season is Jake Bowers. And again, I just ran through the statistics. Yes, he has hit more home runs against right-handed pitchers. But he has the number against left-handed pitchers is not 0, and it's not 1, and it's not 2. He's hit multiple home runs against left-handed pitchers this year. He's your best power hitter. He's got 18 home runs. He leads your team, for Pete's sake. I get we're analytical, but when the analytic is home runs hit this season, Jake Bowers is your best option. When you are in a one-run ball game, and you ask me, you say, hey, Alex, the Brewers are down by a run. You got to put one guy up to the plate. I'm not telling you who he's facing, right-handed or left-handed. You got to put one guy to the plate in July of 2026. Alex, who are you picking? I'd say, well, thanks for asking. Thanks for thinking I'm worthy of answering this question. My answer would be Rake Bowers. My answer would be Jake Bowers. And I think you would likely agree with me, given what we've seen through, where are we at, 95 games? Jake Bowers has been your best power hitter this season. So as frustrating as these losses are, and again, they're not the end of the world, but they're frustrating losses in back-to-back games today. Why in the world are we not giving Jake Bowers the opportunity when he's been the man that has come up for you time and time again this season? I don't get that one. And maybe Pat Murphy will be asked about it tomorrow, but I don't get that decision. Yeah, he's better against right-handed pitchers, left-handed. I get it. But I really don't get it. I really don't. I see your texts rolling in. I see your comments rolling in on YouTube. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. If you want to get your thoughts in on the game and on Miz being scratched, Miz will not go tomorrow for the Brewers. He will be replaced by Robert Gasser, who's been really good for the Brewers his last couple of outings. I believe this will be his third start on this road trip, which has lasted, it feels like, a month. 11 straight games on the road here as the Brewers wrap up the first half of their schedule. But Robert Gasser versus Paul Skenes. Yeah, the matchup we were all looking forward to, right? It's the one we've been talking about all week. Robert Gasser and Paul Skenes. Woo! No, it's exciting. Robert Gasser has some good stuff, and he's really seemingly coming into his own here in the month of July. So excited to see what he does tomorrow. As the Brewers, I don't believe in a must-win in July, but you want to avoid the sweep. You want to get a win heading into the All-Star break. So it's a game they really, really, really want to win. Not a must-win by any means, but a game you really, really want to win. So hopefully Jake Bowers isn't pulled in the ninth inning, and hopefully Robert Gasser is a really quality start. That's what we hope for tomorrow. We'll get into some highlights coming up next. Brewers extra inning, 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Yeah, a little less exciting that today, for being honest with each other. Alex Stropin for Dominic Catronio. It's Brewers Extra Innings here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. And we've got a double dosage of highlights to get into. Two games today. The Brewers lose them both. Spoiler alert. Did you know the name Esmerlin Valdez before today?
The pitch from Sproat is a ground ball through the left side and into left field for a base hit. Around third is Mangum. He will score. And the Pirates take a 1-0 lead. That is some tough luck for Brandon Sproat right there. That ball was not hit hard at all on the left side of the infield, but just hit right between Ortiz and Pratt.
Yeah, that one wasn't hit hard at all. That was RBI 1 of 8 between the two games for Esmerlin Valdez of the Pittsburgh Pirates, the rookie outfielder. More from him to come. But the Brewers do one thing really well. Well, they do a lot of things really well, but this one thing they do really well. The Brewers go down in the first inning 2-0 in game number one. What do they do well? That's respond, Rake Bowers.
Well, to pitch is lined out to right. This is headed for the seats. It is gone! Jake Bowers with an absolute laser to right field, and this game is tied at 2.
Game tied 2-2 as we go to bottom 3. Did I mention the name Esmerlin Valdez yet?
The one pitch. Flied into deep center field, way back. Mitchell turning and watching. That ball's gone. What a blast for Esmerlin Valdez, the rookie. Well over 400 feet for the go-ahead solo home run. It's 3-2 Pirates in the third.
A lot more scoring in that one, though. That's 3-2. We go to the fifth. Luis Lara leads off with a double to center field. And how about the other rookie, Cooper Pratt, tying this one up.
1-1. This is lined into left center field. Coming in with a dive and unable to come up with it is Callahan. Around third is Lara. He will score. Backing up the play was Mangum. His throw will be cut off. Into second with an RBI double is Cooper Pratt, and the Brewers have tied it at 3.
No, those are not boos in Pittsburgh. Those are coops for Cooper Pratt, who tied that game in the fifth. And it wasn't tied very long. The same weekend, Festa Italiana goes on in Milwaukee. How about the Italian stallion, Salvatore?
After having that monster month of June. And he hits one in the air to deep right, going back at the track. Bye-bye, baseball! Salvatore with a two-run blast, and the Brewers lead it 5-3.
First home run since April 30th for Sal Frelick, but back on track after a really good June and a big shot there to give the Brewers a 5-3 lead. In the seventh, William Contreras would hit an RBI single to left field, give the Brewers a 6-3 advantage. And in the bottom of the seventh inning, have I mentioned the name Esmerlin Valdez yet?
Ashby's 3-1 coming. Flied into deep right field, way back, Frelick watching, and it's a grand slam for Esmerlin Valdez. His second home run of the game has given the Pirates the lead.
So that is 6 RBI for those of you keeping track at home. Pirates would hang on. That would be your final score, 7-6 in the first game. Let's go to game number 2. No score in the fourth inning. Guess who?
The 1-1. Driven to deep left. If it's fair, it's gone. It's hooking towards the pole. It is fair. Gone again. And it's Esmerlin Valdez has hit 3 homers on the day to single-handedly carry the Pirates' offense. A high towering fly just inside the pole and left makes it 2-0 Pittsburgh in the bottom of the fourth.
5 for 8, 3 home runs, 8 RBI today for Esmerlin Valdez. Unbelievable. I mentioned responding. Brewers are good at that. Bryce Durang, top of the fifth.
And the 2-1 pitch. Fly ball left field. Racing back is Reynolds. Into the corner at the wall. He jumps up. It bangs off the very top of the wall and bounds back into left field. Churio's around third. He's going to score. Terang's going to stop at second. But the Brewers get 2 in on a 2-run double from Bryce Durang, and we are tied at 2.
The biggest injustice in Major League Baseball in the last week. Bryce Durang's not an all-star. We'll save that rant for another day. And it was all up to the bona fide Brewers killer. This guy has been dynamite against the Brewers in years past. Brian Reynolds in the bottom of the sixth inning.
A 1 is a liner fair down into the corner in right field. Hits off the sidewall around third and scoring is Lau. It'll be an RBI single for Brian Reynolds. Pittsburgh leads it 3-2.
And that would be your final score. The final out came when William Contreras pinch hit for Jake Bowers in the top of the ninth. And he would ultimately strike out. Pirates hang on. They win the series
6 to 7 in the first game, and 2 to 3 in game 2. Game 3 in the first half finale coming tomorrow. No Jacob Mizorowski. He is scratched due to fatigue. It will be Robert Gasser taking on the back-to-back Cy Young Award winner, Paul Skeens. We'll get to your comments. We will preview tomorrow's matchup coming up next as we wrap up Brewers extra innings. But before we do that, I guess I have to give a – it tells me I have to give a player of the game to a Brewers player. I'm going to look at our producer, Matt Yazel. Matt, I don't have to give it to a Brewers player today, right? You don't think so?
You can bend the rule a little bit.
I'm going to bend the rule today because it'd be really, really hard for me to give player of the game to anybody games, I guess, than Esperlin Valdez. 8 RBI in 2 games. 3 home runs. He's a rookie. He was outrageous. Tonight's player of the game brought to you by our friends over at the International Autos Group. And just like our MVP, you can drive into summer in style. I guess we should almost start saying fall, right? It's middle of July. Drive into summer in style. Save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit their website, iamilwaukee.com. That's iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Preview of tomorrow's game, your comments, final thoughts as the Brewers drop both today in Pittsburgh. That's coming up next. Brewers Extra Innings continues right after this on 620 WTMJ. Wrapping up Brewers Extra Innings right here on 620 WTMJ, your home of the Brewers. First half finale coming up tomorrow. An early one, 11:15 first pitch. Coverage will start right here on 620 WTMJ at 10:40 with the guys out in Pittsburgh at PNC Park. Final game of the first half. Man, this season's flying by. And it's been a fun one. As frustrating as days like today are, this team's really good. I mean, this team's better than they were a year ago. They won, what, 97 games last year? Made it the NLCS. I firmly believe that. I mean, I think they're still a few core pieces away from being Dodgers good or World Series good, but you play the game for a reason. And they've got some really good pieces. And you saw some of that on display today. Bryce Terang had a couple of clutch hits. Jake Bowers hit another home run. You've got to feel really good about those rookies, right? Like, I haven't mentioned Luis Lara yet, but I've been so darn impressed with him this week since being called up. He's been awesome. So a big double for him in that second game. Cooper Pratt's been solid. Still finding his footing, but he's your shortstop of the future. He's young, but you have the long-term investment. And you feel good about what he's done, and obviously he's going to get a ton of playing time now with David Hamilton with the hamstring injury on the IL. So you feel good about where this team's at. There's some arms that I think should concern you and should make you a little nervous. Brandon Sproat was not good today in game number one. Aaron Ashby was not good today, giving up the grand slam to Esmerlin Valdez. But you've got to feel good about Shane Drouin. You got to feel good about where he's at. Obviously, you feel great about Miz. Kyle Harrison's been struggling a little bit, but I have faith he can figure that out. Robert Gasser's been really good recently. You'll see him again tomorrow, starting in place for Mizorowski. So all in all, this team's in a good spot. But days like today, very frustrating and rightfully so. And your frustration certainly coming through on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Alex from Oshkosh. Great first name, Alex. Alex from Oshkosh chimes in. Let's just say tomorrow's game doesn't matter. Let's just skip to the All-Star break. Yeah, it matters. You'd like to get a win going into the break. That way you can ride high despite the series loss. You want to see Robert Gasser go out there and get another one. Go have another nice performance, a quality start. That way we're looking at him all of a sudden go, oh, Chris Hook pitching lap still works. Yeah, it sure does. I mean, and Robert Gasser was good last year. But since returning, he's been really good for them, especially on this road trip. So excited to see him tomorrow. Not as excited as I would be to see Mizorowski versus Skeens, but Gasser versus Skeens. Yeah, it's a good second option. I'm good with that. Mark chimes in simply with, I can't believe it. The Brewers can't even beat the Pirates. Well, they've beaten a lot of teams this year, Mark. They've got 59 wins. They've beaten everybody. They have only been swept once. Looking to avoid that tomorrow. But yeah, a day like today when you're playing so much baseball, effectively consistently, right? There was only a 45-minute break in between games or an hour-long break between games. So we all sat through that together. That was a lot of baseball and some very frustrating moments. Why was Ms. Scratch comes in on the Siding Unlimited text line. If you missed it, we heard from Pat Murphy a bit earlier in the show. Just general fatigue. They don't like how his body has recovered, so they're going to give him a well-needed rest. And a well-deserved rest. Obviously, Mizorowski is Cy Young good this year and has been Cy Young good this year. And he pitched earlier in the week. Just didn't recover as fast as they would have liked. And now, granted, I think this is technically shorter rest than he's used to. I believe he pitched Tuesday, and Tuesday to Sunday is only 5 days, and typically he's been getting about six or seven. So they wanted to get him one more time before the All-Star break. Not going to happen. He will not pitch in the All-Star game. Of course, once again, nominated to the All-Star game by his peers and the fans. I guess not the fans. Pitchers don't get selected by the fans. But elected the game nonetheless, but will not go. So back-to-back All-Star selections for Jacob Mizorewski. We will just not see him in the All-Star game this week, and we will not see him tomorrow in the first half finale. Let's go to YouTube. What do we got on YouTube over there? SwissBoy61 says, I am still not sure if I figured out how they lost game one. They have stolen more one-run games than anybody in the league. They have won more one-run games than they've lost. That's just baseball. And he goes on to say, you know, he's watching soccer. You hear me? SwissBoy61. Very, very bad sports day, he says. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Mad City Brew on YouTube. Good to see you on YouTube at 620 WTMJ. Extremely disappointed in Ashby and Yelich in game one. Game two, a joke, and after pulling Miz because of fatigue and dead arm. Would be nice to see 60 wins come Sunday, but it's a bad lineup coming in. We'll see. And then he says Yelich should be batting sixth or seventh. And this is getting louder. The, I don't want to say disdain, but the frustration for Christian Yelich. He was 1-for-5 in game one, 1-for-3 in game number two, was hit by the pitch in game one, I believe. And then game two, he had the base on balls. So 1-for-5, 1-for-3 in those games. His bat has not been great. And I know Pat Murphy was on the record. It was either earlier this week or last week, just saying, look, he does so much for this ball team. He knows he's not playing well. He cares more than anybody. He's here early. He's trying to get right. But it's been, it feels like a long time since we've seen, and look, I'm not expecting MVP Christian Yelich to walk into the batter's box by any means. But you'd like a consistent guy, especially if he's batting leadoff. And, you know, Murphy tinkers with the lineup. It feels like, obviously, I'm so hyper-focused on the Brewers. I'm not watching every other team, you know, going through their lineups with the fine comb tooth. No, regardless, the way I am with the Milwaukee Brewers. But I feel like Yelich hitting leadoff is not the move anymore. I'm kind of over that. And I know they really like Turang at three, but I would love to see him batting leadoff, Churio hitting leadoff. You just want to get somebody on. And Yelich isn't doing that for you recently. And Mad City Brew chimes in, I want to see him hitting sixth or seventh. They'd never do that. But I don't know about the leadoff spot. I would like to see him tinker with that a little bit. Because as I said before, as I started the segment with, this team's better than they were a year ago. But there are some pieces that really frustrate me. Jake Bowers getting pulled in the ninth inning in both games today. Pinch hit four against a left-handed pitcher. That frustrates me. If you want to be the analytics person and tell me, well, you want to have a right-handed batter against a left-handed pitcher. Sure, I get that in just about every scenario except this one. He's your hottest bat. He's your strongest bat this season. He's been your most consistent big hitter. That's a guy I want up there if the game is on the line you're down by a run. So, frustration nonetheless. We will see what the lineup is, but we do know it'll be Robert Gasser and Paul Skeens tomorrow in the first half finale. No Jacob Mizorewski. And I'm excited to see Robert Gasser. As I mentioned a few times, he's been really good on this road trip. He's been good since he's come back. And you just hope he can get another quality start, put the Brewers in a position to win. Hopefully the bats come alive a little bit more like they did in the first game than the second game tonight. And you go into the All-Star break at 60 wins. You'd be 60-36 through 96 games. You should feel pretty good about that if the Brewers can get a win. 21 games over 500 going into the break. Or rather, 24 games over 500 going into the break. So that's what you'd like to see. You just hope Bobby Petrel can do what he can tomorrow and the bats come alive a little bit heading into the All-Star break. But as I mentioned to Jerry Augustine a bit earlier, we'll go over some of the positives, the negatives, the surprises, the things we're concerned about after the first half of the season. That is what we will do tomorrow night on Brewers Extra Innings following the conclusion of the Brewers Radio Network. Big thanks to Jerry Augustine. Big thanks to Matt Yazel. Big thanks to all of you for texting in, commenting in all your thoughts on this one. The Brewers lose both in Pittsburgh, but one more tomorrow, and we will talk to you after that on Brewers Extra Innings.